I invite you this morning to open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 12 through 14. Hebrews, chapter 5. Beginning at verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, or he is a babe. The strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Of what do you think when you hear the word righteousness? If a number of things come to your mind, then you are probably not alone. Indeed, as one considers the word righteousness, he may even become a bit confused by his consideration, inasmuch as in Scripture, righteousness seems to go in different directions. Righteousness, most assuredly, is an important Bible word, needing careful consideration. And I have discovered here in the passage that we've read that one of the descriptions given of Scripture is the word of righteousness. As one considers the uses and the exploration and the revelation of righteousness in Scripture, he begins to be aware that the expression word of righteousness becomes a very appropriate description of the Scriptures. And what I'd like us to do this morning is consider some of the ways, some of the directions in which this expression, word of righteousness, takes. The word of righteousness reveals to us, in the first place, the rightness of God. Open your Bibles to Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 45, and read with me verse 21. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together, who hath declared this from ancient times. Who hath told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? Now listen carefully to what comes next. And there is no God else beside thee, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside thee. Fix in your mind that expression, a just God and a Savior. God is absolutely fair. God is absolutely just in all his ways. In all of his actions, God's ways are consistent with his justness. But having said that, there is an assertion made from ages ago by humanity. I want you to turn your Bibles now to the book of Ezekiel, to the 18th chapter, and read with me beginning at verse 25. And listen to the assertion that is made by humanity concerning God, whom Scripture says is absolutely just and right and fair. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel. Is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall live his soul alive, or save his soul alive. Now what I want you to notice here, first of all, is that from ages ago, as I've already said, there has been this whining assertion of humanity. God, you are not fair. But I want you to notice what it is that God says through the prophet. And what he says, in effect, is this. It is not I who am unfair. It is not my ways which are unequal. The truth of the matter is that it is mankind out of spiritual control who makes this unfair and wrong assertion and accusation. Here is the truth. God's ways are fair. God's ways are just. God's ways are equal. Listen, folks. God does not bend the rules. Never does God bend the rules. That's just a fact. Because God is absolutely right. And the word of righteousness declares the rightness of God. Secondly, the word of righteousness describes that which God requires or expects of humanity. What God expects of us as His creatures. In the 119th Psalm, there are two verses I'd like us to read together. The first is in this Psalm at verse 138. The psalmist says, "Thy testimonies that Thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful." And then in verse 172 he says, "My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness." Here's another way in Scripture in which the word righteous is used. It is used first to describe the rightness of God. Then it is used to describe that which God requires of you and me. I want you to think about what we've said already. God is absolutely right. He is absolutely just. He is absolutely fair. And in His fairness, God has revealed to us that which He expects of us. God did not create human beings and say there's going to be a judgment out there and then leave to our imagination of what that judgment might consist. God did not just wind up the clock and say, "Now, run." God created us, and in the absolute justness of God, He has revealed to us that which He requires or expects of us. Look at Romans chapter 1, and there at verses 16 and 17. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," Paul writes, "for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein," in the gospel, "for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now keep this in mind, folks. The gospel does not reveal to us only the rightness or the justness of God. Yes, it reveals that, But that's not all. It reveals to us that which God expects of us. All thy commandments, the psalmist said, are righteousness. And these commandments are revealed to us in the word of righteousness, here described by the word gospel. What God requires of us. Now I want you to go to the book of Deuteronomy for just a minute. And I want you to go to chapter 6 in this great book. And I want you to look at verses 24 and 25 carefully with me. Deuteronomy 6, verses 24 and 25. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness. Think about that expression. It shall be our righteousness. We're not talking about the righteousness of God now. We're talking about the righteousness of men and women like you and me. It shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. There is no doubt in my mind at all that Moses understood the meaning of righteousness as it applies to mankind. And notice what he says here as he describes it. It is for our good, Paul writes, of his own nation. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not, listen to it, not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, not the justness of God, not the fairness of God, but that which God requires of one to make him righteous before God, they being ignorant of the righteousness of God and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Notice in this passage the importance of knowledge. And the knowledge to which the apostle is referring is the knowledge of that which God requires, his commandments, which if we conform to them, would make us to be righteous people. But notice that the absence of that knowledge, carefully notice this, has made these people of whom the apostle writes lost in the eyes and sight of God. Were they religious? Oh, yes, they were religious. Were they zealous in their faith? Oh, absolutely they were zealous. But folks, listen. They were religious and zealous after the kind of righteousness which they defined and declared, and not after the righteousness which God reveals and requires. Their righteousness could not substitute for the righteousness of God. Man's ways can never replace God's ways. Never. But here were people who were attempting it, and Scripture very clearly defines, can't be done. You cannot define your own righteousness. You cannot have your own way. It's got to be God's way or no way. There cannot be righteousness in the absence of the commandments of God. Then in Acts, the 10th chapter, there are a couple of verses to read, verses 34 and 35, which might help us a little bit. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. two prerequisites to pleasing God. The first one is reverence. Respect all from the heart for God. But the second one is obedience. Notice how obedience is framed in this passage. He that worketh righteousness. There is something to do, righteousness, the commandments of God. What shall be our righteousness? Do all these commandments. You know, Moses had it right, folks. You've got to obey God in order to be considered righteous. There cannot be righteousness apart from that which God has revealed, that which He has commanded. And it is the word of righteousness which reveals this truth to us. Remember Romans 10 at verse 17? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There it is. Our righteousness depends on our hearing the Word of God and our conforming to the Word of God in reverence and in obedience. And this obedience comes out of a genuine reverence for God, not a false reverence, not a kind of pseudo-reverence that goes through the motions. I'm talking about a genuine reverence for God that understands who God is and who I am and the relationship that I sustain to God. Reverence for God. And these things that I must do, yes, they're revealed within His Word. If you look a little bit further here in Acts chapter 10, verse 48, and He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. He commanded them. All Thy commandments are righteousness. Righteousness is doing the commandments. He commanded them to be baptized. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and there at verse 37. Remember, now we're talking about the commandments of God revealed in the Word of God, or the Word of righteousness. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things I write unto you are the commandments of God. Where am I going to discover what it is God wants me to do? In the Word of righteousness, in Scripture, in the written Word, acknowledging you and I in reverence from the heart that the things written here are the commandments, not the suggestions, the commandments of God. One other thing. In the fourth chapter of the book of Romans is a passage that you rarely hear discussed much, perhaps because within it there may be some complication, something we don't understand, and I acknowledge that I don't fully understand all that's here. But I want to read, beginning at verse 23. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, for the sake of Abraham, that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, the context refers to the righteousness of Abraham and suggests to us that it was his belief that was imputed to him for righteousness. Here's a question. What is it that would impel a person to obedience, to obeying God? Well, in the text that I've read, there are two things that are very clearly defined, and they are these. if one believes in the saving work of Jesus Christ and in His resurrection, that moves one to obedience. But then we realize that faith or belief is contingent upon knowledge, and the knowledge is of the Word of God. I mentioned to you a while ago, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, the Word of righteousness. But faith must be joined with obedience if we are to be declared righteous. Now think about that. Faith must be joined with obedience if we are going to be declared righteous. If our faith is going to be imputed to us for righteousness. In the 6th chapter of the book of Romans, at verses 17 and 18, listen to this. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Now, if we stop right there, we might not have a clear picture. But the next verse makes all of this much clearer. Being then, when we obeyed from the heart. What did I say a while ago? Faith joined with obedience. But faith joined with obedience, which comes from a heart of genuine reverence. That's when, in verse 18, what happens? Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. But there's one other direction which the word righteousness takes us. And that is in the direction of the ultimate judgment of God. In the 96th chapter of the book of Psalms, and at verse 13, here's what the Bible says. Let me read 12 and 13. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Notice the psalmist declares the ultimate judgment of God. And notice that he says, the ultimate judgment of God will be the judgment of righteousness. In other words, it's going to be absolutely impartial. It's going to be absolutely fair. It's going to be absolutely just. There will be no bending of the rules. We don't need to worry about God's bending the rules to let someone squeeze in who doesn't need to be in heaven. He's not going to do that. But notice that the psalmist goes on to explain that the people are going to be judged with his truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, verse 17. So once again, the word of righteousness comes into view. We're going to be judged in keeping with and by the word of righteousness. So I turn in my Bible to another passage that bears on this discussion. It's the 12th chapter of John, verses 48 and 49. Here's what Jesus says. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I therefore speak, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. I know that his commandment. What was it that Moses said about righteousness when he defined it? What shall be our righteousness? Do all these commandments. What's going to be the standard by which we will be judged in eternity? The commandments of God and what we have done with them in our life. How we have related to them in our life. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, beginning at verse 21, Matthew records words of the Lord in which there is information given to us about the judgment of God. Familiar words to many of us. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, in thy name have done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And my question is, why were these evidently good people rejected at the judgment? Could they not claim God is unfair? But we did these things. We prophesied in your name. We did many wonderful works in your name. We cast out devils in your name. What's going on here? You're just not fair, God. Your ways are not equal. Ah. But Jesus explains. Look at verse 21 again carefully. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, good people, religious people, oh yes. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Who will? Well, here again, we see the absolute consistency of God in the judgment. Because those who will enter in are these. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He that keeps my commandments, he will enter into the kingdom. So we see in all of this, yes, the rightness of God and how God in his rightness and fairness reveals what he requires of us. And then at the judgment, once again, the rightness of God in that he will judge according to that which he has revealed. He is consistent with himself in all his ways. He is consistent with justice. He is consistent with fairness. He is consistent with his expectation of us. So one of these days, you and I are going to meet the Lord God, the righteous judge in the judgment. And if we have not been careful to consider the word of righteousness, if we have ignored it in our lives and we have not conformed ourselves to it, meeting God in the judgment is going to be very unpleasant for us. So, have you conformed your life to the commandments of God? Are you conforming your life day by day to the commandments which he has revealed in his word? Or it is those things, my friends, by which you and I are going to be judged for eternity. Trust and obey. That's really what it's all about. And this morning I ask, will you trust that God will do what he said he would do? And in that trust, will you then obey that which God has revealed as his commandments? There are some in this assembly who need to be baptized into Christ, as was the case with Cornelius, of whom we read in Acts chapter 10, when we read that God is no respecter of persons. But requires in every nation people who respect him and work righteousness. And verse 48, remember that verse? The Apostle Peter, by inspiration of the Spirit of God, commanded them to be baptized. And the Word of God, over and again, commands, my friends, that we be baptized for the remission of our sins. Do you need to be baptized this morning? Will you trust that God will do what He said He would do when you're baptized, to forgive you all of your sins, to make you alive again as far as He is concerned? Maybe, just maybe, there are Christian people in this assembly who have not conformed their lives to that which God requires and have not in their lives lived righteously. Folks, listen, this is serious. I know that we come on the Lord's Day and we enjoy the fellowship of one another and we enjoy the singing of the songs and we look forward to getting together and all that's good and wonderful, but this is serious business, for it pertains to your eternal security and well-being. It's not just the party that we've come to this morning. And if we're here as Christian people and we've not conformed our lives to that which God requires as righteousness, shame on us, but that shame needs to evoke in us sorrow toward God and penitence, and we need to square our lives with what God requires of us. If we need the prayers of brothers and sisters in order to help us with that, then we need to be coming as we sing this song and say, I'd like the prayers of the church to help me with my righteousness. While David leads us in the song, if there's anyone here needing to respond publicly, we invite you to come while we stand, while we sing.